This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Do you drive a vehicle? Then you'll find AutoCorrect helpful, especially on Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week. Listen to our podcast with me, Coach Charlie Melton, on any podcasting platform or on the MPB Public Media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Next Stop Mississippi. I'm Jermaine Flood, along with my traveling partners, Marissa Vaughn and Lacey Alexander. We're your number one on-air source covering the people, places, and events that make our state great. For our first stop of the day, we're keeping the party going in celebration of Women's History Month, and we're off to West Point to check out Women in Blues, a showcase featuring female blues musicians through the voices of MSU opera students. March 24th at the Black Prairie Blues Museum. And then we're off to check out what's happening around your neck of the woods before a final stop in Jackson to bask in the glory of the legendary Sweet Potato Queens at the 2024 Hal St. Patty's Day Parade in downtown Jackson, March 23rd. Welcome back to Next Stop Mississippi. Before we hit the road, let me welcome my traveling partners for today. These are two new traveling partners. Java Chapman and Kamel King are out today, but in with me today, I've got none other than my girls, because it's Women's History Month. Why wouldn't I invite them both
I've got
Marissa Vaughn and Lacey Alexander. Marissa, Lacey, welcome to Next Stop. Lacey, you've already been here, but welcome.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of papas and the full grown. It's Women's Day, baby.
All the women's songs you can think of were coming to our mind. Marissa, welcome to Next Stop Mississippi. This is your first time really on air with me.
Thank you. I know. This is crazy.
I'm excited about it. How you feeling about being on Next Stop today?
I feel like I am in a driver's seat going somewhere I don't know where.
Right.
But I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
Marissa's on the air with the loudest two people in the building.
Right. And then she's like, I'm driving somewhere and I don't know where I'm going.
That's the best part.
Let me get into a little bit of that. I want to know more. Where do you usually go if you travel, Marissa?
To work and home, and to the grocery store and home.
Well, that's a stark contrast from Lacey, the world traveler.
I think if Java gets one more PTO request from me, he's going to
blow
a gasket.
Just going to start just throw him in a garbage.
Right.
Lacey stays everywhere. I mean, she travels in all places.
Well, you know, you got to get cultured somehow.
Right.
Might as well see the world.
Well, today we're about to do that. We're about to see the world and celebrate Women's History Month because, again, we're keeping the party going and we're off to West Point to check out Women in Blues, a showcase featuring female blues musicians, through the voices of MSU opera students. That's a toss-up.
That is different.
That is a mix-up.
Opera folks singing blues songs.
We're going to figure this out, though, Lacey. We don't know, but this is happening March 24th, yet, at the Black Prairie Blues Museum. And in with us to tell us more, on the line, we've got Deborah Mansfield, and she's the volunteer director, and also Rosa Tulyaganova. She is in with us as well. Welcome to Next Stop Mississippi, Deborah and Rosa.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for joining us today. And just congratulations on the Women in Blues event that's going to be happening at the Black Prairie Blues Museum. I had trouble getting the prairie out. I think it's a little bit of a tongue twister, but I'm getting it right. I promise I'm going to get it right.
It is a tongue twister.
It is. It really is. It really is a tongue twister. But I want to go ahead and just jump into this event, Women in Blues. But I want to proceed this with Lacey's question that she gave me before we sat down, because it makes so much sense. And I didn't think about it, Deborah and Rosa, but Lacey, go.
So my question is, are these MSU opera students singing blues music?
We've actually had several events with MSU and the opera department. So this was exciting for us to have our third event with them.
Yeah. Talk about, though, the thought that went in behind doing this.
We actually had a collaboration with the MSU graphic arts department last year, and they did posters on Women in Blues.
Okay.
Awesome.
So, and so we have tried to collaborate with local artists and musicians, and bring them in. We had a big celebration with Libby Ray last year during the Women's History Month and celebrated all kinds of women in blues history then.
Awesome.
But this is our first time to have MSU opera students actually come and dress up and sing their song that they've chosen. I think Rosa can expand on that a little bit better.
Well, a few years ago, our friend Marion had this idea of combining blues and opera together, and we thought it would be crazy, but then we ended up doing it, and it was fabulous.
Right.
And people were asking us to do it again. And so this year, it's Women in Blues. So the idea was that our students would be dressed as that character. And if it's not a female student, then they will represent either a husband or son or a manager, and we'll talk about this person and then sing a song of this person.
Rosa, basically these students have gotten an operatic vocal training, which kind of opens them up to a bunch of different genres to be able to sing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And now it's a very common thing to do because the genres are mixing all the time and singers need to be very versatile. So I think we're helping them in a way.
Right.
Being professional. Yeah.
Now, Rosa, you made a comment earlier about these singers are going to present as characters. They're almost going to present as representation of these artists. This is more than just some sort of stand and sing. It sounds like there's a little bit of a narrative that goes behind this event, right?
Yes. We wanted the students actually not only sing, but also learn about the artist. So before coming to the class, they actually had to do research of the artist they chose and then write a narrative.
Mm.
So it's really exciting. And like I said, females would be the like Nina Simone, Asia Ellis, for example. She'll be Nina Simone, and she will talk about herself as dressed like her, kind of looking like her.
Sure.
But not sounding like her, because we wanted them to sing with their own voice.
Sure.
That is awesome. Now, when it comes to you, Rosa, what is your role in helping put together Women in the Blues event?
Well, first of all, I'm a voice teacher. I'm an instructor. And I also opera director.
That's awesome.
That
I
is
love
awesome.
That. I was close to opera, Rosa, but I couldn't get to those notes.
Rosa, I was musical theater, and that's as far as I went.
Well, as long as you're soul sing, that's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We are sisters in a way. Deborah, moving to you, I have a question. You said this is another event as far as Women in Blues goes. You did a similar event last year, but with a different art form. Why is it so important to you and your entity to celebrate specifically Women in Blues for multiple years now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we not only celebrate women in blues, but we celebrate the blues in general.
Sure.
And our mission at the museum is really to educate people about the blues through performances and visual art. So this is just one way we can get the word out about blues and involve the community.
Deborah, as volunteer director, you are the nicest lady in the world to be a volunteer director. One, I want you
Seriously,
to know that.
Yeah.
But two, what does it all entail? And tell us a little bit about yourself as well.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was asked 8 years ago to try to carry on this blues museum, actually start it from the ground up. And it's been a long road, let me tell you, a long journey. And I have learned a lot about museums. I knew nothing about directing a museum prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a wonderful experience. I've learned a lot, met so many people, learned so much about the blues. And I have fun spreading the word of the blues and also creating a tourism spot in West Point for people to come visit.
That's awesome.
Spend their money.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And then when people come out to this, how big is the community impact when they come out and support you all? How important is that, especially in West Point?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We need to bring people together, especially after COVID. I've seen a lot of people want to just stay at home and do things on their computer, watch Netflix, whatever. But this gets people out and reacquainted with each other, see what's out there, come to our events and see the artwork by local artists. I mean, we're missing that, I think, in our society. So this is another way just to bring everyone together.
That's right.
I have a question. Switching over to Rosa now, I have a question for you. Tell me about your students. How is the rehearsal process going? How are they reacting to this opportunity?
Well, they're very excited. You know, first of all, it's something different. So far, they've been loving it. They did a fantastic research. Their narrative is amazing. I was just honestly amazed by their narrative. and they learning the music, and now they basically learned that this month they're having a rehearsal with the band, because we hired a band.
Oh, wow.
To accompany them, which is more exciting, and also having to work with the costume people, you know, so they to dress up like someone else. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And they're not just learning about music. They're learning about the history of these individuals.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, being in Mississippi and not knowing about blues is kind of sad. So I think it's exciting because that's where the blues was born, you know?
Yeah. So, you cannot be from Mississippi, and not know about two things, blues and country music.
Period. And good food.
Right.
And good
food. I love country music, too. Maybe it's the next step.
That's right. Now, Deborah, I want to go ahead and let everybody know about future events that the Black Prairie Blues Museum may have coming up, and then how they can get more information about this event.
Yes, absolutely. We have the month of April, we will be celebrating Charles Mala Evans, who is a Starkville icon, a wonderful 90-year-old man who spreads love and joy everywhere. But we will be turning our museum into La La Land that month, and it will be something to see. And then also in September, we have the Black Prairie Blues Festival, which is on the weekend of the 20th and the 21st. We will have a photography exhibit that's never been seen before by Axel Kuster. He's a German photographer that lived with blues musicians in the 80s. And so there'll be never before seen here, at least, photographs that he is actually donating to the museum. So there'll be a private collection for us.
That's
so
awesome.
We'll be exhibiting that. That'll be a first. We're super excited about that. Can I just add that this wouldn't be able to happen without the grant from Mississippi Hills.
Awesome. Again, Deborah and Rosa, I want to thank you both so much for joining us, and to our listeners, in celebration of Women's History Month. That's Women in the Blues. It's a showcase featuring female blues musicians. I'm going to get it all right, Lacey. I promise.
Take your time. Take your time.
It's not coming out smooth, though. Through the voices of MSU opera students, happening March 24th at the Black Prairie Blues Museum. Welcome back to Next Stop Mississippi. Let me again welcome my traveling partners, Marissa Vaughn and Lacey Alexander. Hello,
hey,
ladies.
It's ladies' night.
It is, or ladies' day.
It's ladies' morning.
It's one of those mornings. I am so glad, though, to have an all-female host show on this episode. I don't know what to do. I'm just squeezed out with joy.
Happy International Women's Day.
I know, right? That was last Friday, though, Lace.
Oh.
Y'all weren't here because we had Kamel and Java's birthday party.
Kamel and Java are not international women.
No, they're not, but I did.
So we're having it a week late. That's what I think.
They would love to be international women, though.
Yeah, they
don't know what they're missing.
Well, it's still Women's History Month. How about that? Happy Women's History Month.
Well, look, speaking of international, the four Mississippi Coast cities, y'all, tops Forbes' list of best places to travel in the U.S.
No way.
So nationwide, Mississippi Coast, those four cities made the Forbes list. And do you want to know what they are?
Yes.
Lacey, you're from Alabama. Do you know where these places are?
I know where Biloxi is. Because I've been there.
Did you vacation? Did you, like, instead of going to Gulf Shores, you came to Biloxi?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I was on the beaches of Destin.
Oh, okay.
Which
oh.
is where old people and people who like quiet go. So that was my beach of choice. No, I went
Miramar
to...
Miramar is the best place for that, though,
yeah.
What you just said.
No, you're not wrong, but you and I went to Biloxi for a roadshow a few months back.
Yeah, we did. We did.
A few months back.
We
had
did.
Some seafood.
And you liked it.
Loved it. Beautiful.
And the atmosphere was dope.
Great, yes.
I know.
Food was great.
I know.
I'm about to put in some PTO.
I know,
what
are
y'all talking about?
Some fried shrimp.
Marissa's like, why wasn't I there?
We're talking about Forbes.
You weren't here last year. Now you can come.
You know why? You know why that's on Forbes? Because that's the best crab cake I've ever had in my life. I'm not kidding.
Well, let me tell you which coast cities they were. Bay St. Louis was picked because of its quaint but buzzing downtown with art galleries and antique shops. And locals also love the food scene that includes the famous Mockingbird Cafe. Some of these cities are ones that I may have only driven through but never been to. Waveland, I know they've got a water park. I know that much. But they made the list for having a unique rule that prohibits commercial buildings on the beachfront. And Waveland beaches are some of the most underrated and serene on the coast.
I'm all about that. I am all about that. Keep our beaches clean.
That is. And so they won't let any commercial buildings on. So that's like why Waveland got made the list.
So no Whataburger on that beach.
No, what's the one that I like to go to every time we go down? What's the restaurant? It's around the corner, too.
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't know why I want to say. It's not Shuckers.
No, that's here.
They're gonna murder me over this.
Because you've got koozies in your office. Shaggy's.
That's it, Shaggy's.
I'm thinking of Shaggy's.
It was an S. I was close.
Because you've got literal koozies from every year you've been in your office.
Yep, Shaggy's. No Shaggy's on Waveland's beachfront.
Well, as much as I love Shaggy's, I am all about a clean beach. So good for them.
Yeah. Okay, so Diamond Head was also selected, but it was selected because it has one of the best golf scenes in the area. I don't golf, but if you do, that sounds amazing.
Skip that one. I don't know nothing about golf.
Well, they've got some more going on for them. The restaurant scene is also expanding.
Okay.
Including the new Salt Pepper Oak on the backside of town. That sounds tasty.
You sold me with restaurants. I don't care about the golf, but I'll go to eat.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll eventually get down to Diamond Head. And then coming in, I don't think I'm doing this first to fourth, but coming in at the last that I'm reading it, Ocean Springs was chosen by Forbes because of their food scene, Lacey, particularly the Vestige restaurant. And the owners and chefs were recently named by the James Beard Award for Vestige, that restaurant.
Okay.
So that's awesome. And then the Roost Boutique Hotel also got a shout out for their amenities and for being within walking distance of downtown. And then coming in an honorable mention, the Mississippi Coast Birding Trail was suggested. And then also honorable mentions include, and this is not the coast, but Hattiesburg, Jackson, and the Mississippi Delta.
How about that?
So Forbes has recognized some cities in Mississippi.
Come to the SIP,
that's
said Forbes.
That's it. So here's what else is happening other than the awesome cities that are on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in your neck of the woods. Coming up in Jackson tomorrow, that'll be the 16th at 7 a.m. It's the Run for the Rainbow. Oh, I said that totally wrong, y'all. It's Run the Rainbow for Children's. And that's for the Children's of Mississippi, the state's only children's hospital. So it's for an awesome good cause. That'll be 7 a.m. Saturday, March 16th. It features a 5K route beginning and ending at Howland Miles in downtown Jackson. And the 2024 event also offers a 10K half marathon and a full marathon route through Jackson, Belhaven, Eastover, and the University of Mississippi Medical Center campus, where you can see Kathy and Joe Sanderson Tower at Children's of Mississippi. And not only will participants get some awesome race swag and admission to a St. Patty's Day after party at Howland Miles, but the registration fee and all event proceeds will benefit a great local cause. Children's of Mississippi is committed to providing state-of-the-art care to any child in need. You get a race t-shirt, after party at Howland Miles, live music, and a drink ticket after you run.
That is so cool.
But you gotta run first.
Now, I was about to say, can I make my donation not run and then go to the party?
They will.
that's gonna be plan B.
I think at every one of these races, there is a way non-racers can get into all of the goodies.
See, you're gonna see me hobbling into Hound Mouths like, yeah, I ran. They're gonna be like, no, you did not.
You did not go
I
anywhere.
I can take one look at you and know.
Ain't a bead of sweat.
You got out of bed 2 hours ago. Get out of here. But all jokes aside,
it was a good cause.
All jokes aside, that's a great cause.
Yep, that's Run the Rainbow for Children's tomorrow, Saturday at 7 a.m. Also tomorrow, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., it's the 14th annual Philadelphia Black Rodeo. We did attend our state rodeo this year, but coming up, it's the 14th annual Philadelphia Black Rodeo in Philadelphia, Mississippi. They're saying this is the baddest show on dirt. And if you've ever been to any Black Rodeo, it's one of the baddest shows on dirt.
So by Black Rodeo,
all African-American rodeo people, mostly.
That is so cool.
I don't know if it's super exclusive, but it's definitely called the Black Rodeo. So we've had one here in Jackson as well. I don't know if we'll have one later on this year, but you can attend this one in lieu of or additionally. Again, 14th annual Philadelphia Black Rodeo tomorrow night, 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. That's going to be on Highway 15 North in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
That is so unique.
That is unique.
I've never heard of anything like that. That's really cool.
That is unique. And I think this event is a free event possibly that you can get into. I think there may be admission. Don't hold me. Y'all gonna get up to the door and be like, Jermaine said,
I could get into the Black Rodeo for free.
And then it'd be like, no.
Just ride up on a horse.
Yeah.
She don't even know us like that.
They'll say, who is Jermaine?
Right. Yeah, we don't know her. And then finally, what's happening around your neck of the woods coming up? Saturday, March 23rd, that's next week, it's the Long Beach Easter Egg Hunt. Lacey, did you ever do Easter Egg Hunts when you were little?
Girl, I was raised Southern Baptist.
I know you went.
Of course I did some Easter Egg Hunts.
I used to cry when I couldn't find any eggs.
See?
Marissa, did you ever Easter Egg Hunt?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I went Easter Egg Hunt.
Did you cry when you didn't find any eggs?
No, I was the best one there.
No. I sure was too. I was militant about it.
And then they would put money in some of them, and all I would find is the candy. Yeah, I will cry.
I got the money egg one year.
You're just lucky.
And it was like a bunch of quarters, and I was like, what will this buy me? And Mom was like, nothing. Congratulations.
I just like the old...
Quarters will buy you something. What did you say, Marissa?
I just like the old boiled eggs that you dye at home. Like,
yeah, but then if you don't find those eggs, you're in trouble.
Yeah, because then they're old rotten boiled eggs.
That's some raccoons chewing on your back porch.
That's why you hunt at someone else's house.
Yeah. Fair enough. Where is this?
This is going to be in Long Beach, Mississippi. That's a coast city.
What's the date?
It's Saturday, next Saturday, not this one, but next one, the 23rd, 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. on the Harper McCoffin Town Green.
The Town Green. That's where I was getting. I was like, they gonna bury eggs in the beach sand?
No, which would kind of be a different spin.
It would be different and very tedious.
Right. But not only is it an egg hunt, there will be a variety of fun-filled events that day.
That's cool.
So for more information about these events, make sure you visit our online events calendar, mpbonline.org, and then look for SIP events. I'm Jermaine Flood, in with my traveling partners for today. Why? Because Java Chapman and Kamel King are not here, but the best ones are here. I've got Marissa Vaughn and Lacey Alexander in the studio with me. Guys, again, welcome back to Next Stop.
See, if you hadn't told anybody, I think I sound like Java. I think I could have fooled them and thought I was
well,
Java.
Well, you know what we do now, you and I, right? We fool the listeners.
Yeah.
Because people tell me I said something, but I didn't say it, you said it.
Right. So I have that power now. I can get you in some trouble.
No. We're not going to... No Freaky Friday on this.
Y'all are ventriloquists.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
No Freaky Friday on this. And in with us, though, that little voice that you heard, that's not Marissa, that's not Lacey Alexander, but that's our final stop of the day. And let me go ahead and set that up, because it takes us to the historic Hal St. Patty's Day Parade in Jackson, March 23rd. But we're checking out the legendary Sweet Potato Queens during this year's festivities. And in with us to give us all the tea, all the royal tea, is Her Royal Highness herself, High Queen Jill Connor Brown.
Woo, all hail.
I know,
hail
we have
queen.
To.
Yes. We have royalty in the building.
We have royalty in the building, and I'm so glad to have her back this year. She was on last year, and this year, again, is no different. You always come with flair.
Tickle
she
the
pulled up in a van that is wrapped in literally her face in pink.
Oh.
And now I'm going to have to go and take a picture after
iconic.
This show.
Iconic.
In front of it with her. But it is. It's super iconic. And then she gets out looking as beautiful as she does.
Well, and she's got her SPQ
yes.
pin on. She's
yes.
got her crown necklace on.
Yes.
Miss Jill is representing every step
she
of the
is.
Way.
She
everywhere
is.
I go.
Everywhere
right.
you go. And I want to go ahead and just get started with you. There is a Sweet Potato Queens play that's going on.
Musical, yes.
A musical.
Wow.
Sweet Potato Queens musical. The book was written by Rupert Holmes.
Okay.
Who wrote The Mystery of Edwin Drood. He also wrote the Pina Colada song.
Okay.
How oh, if you it? Like Pina Colada
yeah.
one? Oh, okay.
The Mystery of Edwin Drood won
yes.
every Tony.
Yes.
And so he's a big deal. Broadway.
He is a
so
big
he wrote
deal.
The book. Melissa Manchester wrote the music.
Okay.
And Sharon Vaughn wrote the lyrics. Now, Sharon's first number one song was My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys. So
come
half the songs
on.
You've ever heard in your life, Sharon Vaughn wrote them. You just don't know it.
Right.
And so the team, the creative team on the show is unbelievable.
So right. it sounds like it's got a little bit of a country flair.
It does. No. It's all Sweet Potato Queens.
They're billing it, though, Jill, as a Southern rock musical that tells the true story of you and your closest friends here in the States.
Yes. Yes, it's the story. It's based on my first book and kind of how the Sweet Potato Queens got started.
Wow.
When it started in
awesome.
1983. And so they were performing it in St. Louis. It's still, like, when I got word they were doing it in March, I was going, March, really?
And I told I'm a little them, busy.
Because you know, every other time it's been performed, I've been at every performance,
yeah.
which I like to do. And I said, you know, if you'd done it any other time, you could have done it at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been here for every show. But
yeah.
March, so we were just there for the three nights this past weekend.
Right. And this is at the Marcel Ware
yes,
now.
In St. Louis.
In St. Louis. So you literally go there and attend all those shows.
Yes.
That's
yes.
awesome,
Jill. I do a little curtain talk before because, and it's funny when you go to the show because you can tell clearly just looking at who knows why they're here
mm-hmm.
and who just has season tickets. Because the ones who know are dressed up
in
their
pink.
Sequins and rhinestones and
yes.
feathers and
yeah.
all that. And then there are just the other people
yeah.
that are, you know, just so naked.
Yeah,
they have nothing on.
And they'll be sequin next time,
yeah.
Miss Jill.
They walk yeah. in black and blue jeans,
yeah.
and they're like, "You didn't even know where you were going,
mm-hmm.
did you?"
And Queen Jill is like, "Go change."
Yeah.
Right. This is like the Beyonce concert, Lacey.
Mm.
You had to wear special clothes to get in, and
right.
yeah.
it's the same
mm-hmm.
idea.
Yeah.
Listen, if you. I'm not trying to send everybody out of state, right? But this is in St. Louis. But tonight, because it's the 15th, at 8 p.m., they will be doing a showing of that. That'll run at 8 from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Marcel. And then they have extra showings on the 16th, the 21st, the 22nd, and the
yes.
23rd. So mm-hmm. that is so awesome.
So that
Melissa
is cool.
and Sharon will be there for the closing night. Melissa is out right now with the roadshow of Funny Girl.
Right.
But she's taking a little break and going to go for the final show.
Right.
Wow.
Give us one, because you already know I've every year I try to get into the Sweet Potato Queens. One now I have a new reason is because it was founded in 1983 and that was the year I was born.
There you go.
Give us the Cliff Notes version of just the birth.
Well, it was in 1983, like I said, and I was divorced for the first time and my daddy had died
mm-hmm.
and I was in a major funk looking for a way to cheer myself up and, you know, just a bunch of friends sitting around talking. I said, well, you know, being the queen of something would help.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
that's how you do
and
it.
Then,
that's right.
You know, of course, in the South, we do have a beauty queen for
everything
which
yes.
I've always found hilarious. But even in 1983, I was pretty far removed from the beauty queen circuit. And so I heard about Vardaman declaring themselves to be the sweet potato capital of the world. And so I said, well, I could be the sweet potato queen. I thought sweet potato queen sounded hilarious and still do. And so that's what I did. And it was about the time that Malcolm decided, for no apparent reason, that we needed a St. Patrick's Day parade. So I just said, Daddy taught me many things. One of them being anything that's going on that you are in any way capable of participating in, you have a moral obligation to do so for
mm-hmm.
all the people who can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they need something. They got to spectate. They need something to watch. So
mm-hmm.
go show them something. And so
that's what you did. You put yeah. that together.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that one of the greatest talents, gifts that you can have in life is the ability to make your own fun.
Mm.
And a lot of times all you've got to work with is what's between your own ears, and mm-hmm. I am very gifted at that. So I declared myself to be the sweet potato queen, and so for the first few years, we would let anybody that would show up in a green ball gown ride the back of a pickup truck.
There you go.
Smile, wave, and throw sweet potatoes could be a thing. There were not as many takers as you might think. We can't afford to throw sweet potatoes anymore. They're too expensive.
You can throw sweet potato bites, throw yeah. some fries out there yeah. or something.
So we throw the beads now.
There you go. There you go.
They're also, it's kind of dangerous to throw sweet potatoes.
For sure.
The first few years, there was nobody to throw at anyway.
Sure. Throwing them to the ground.
I mean, nobody knew we were a parade. We were in 5 o'clock traffic on a Thursday or something, you know.
How fun. And now it's a real thing. I mean,
it's a real thing.
It's the draw for the South.
It is. And we have persevered. Malcolm has persevered despite just incredible obstacles.
Right.
We'll be out there. This is 41 years. And
wow.
So I am 71. And so
and still
I've
a queen.
I asked myself many times, like, you know, because we do know it's ridiculous, the outfits and all that. I'm going, how many years am I going to do this? But, you know, the queendom, we're totally inclusive. We are men, women, gay, straight, black, white, young, old.
That's awesome.
Married, single, drunk. So I have the ashes of a
married,
dead woman.
Married, single, and drunk. Right. Yeah.
So I have the ashes of a dead woman. There was a queen in Arizona, from Arizona, that loved the parade more than anything. She passed away. I don't have all of her, but I have some of her ashes in a special box with one of her hats. She rides on the float every year. So when I say there is no line we do not cross,
it's all inclusive.
There is no
it's
line.
All inclusive for
and
sure.
So you fit whatever you are, you fit in our, you know, our parameters somewhere. And so it's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing that people come from all over. And but when I question how long I'm going to do it, I would say the youngest participants we have are in utero. And the oldest that we have had so far was Aunt Faye from Midland, Texas. She started parading with us when she was 88.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Aunt Faye.
All of her people, her, you know, girl people brought her every year and did whatever she said. She was blind. I mean,
she came, though.
Work.
She came, had her picture made on my husband's lap. That was her first deal. I mean, she was plotting my death till the day she died.
No,
because she wanted your man.
So she wanted him. And she was out to get him, but
I am in love.
But come on, Aunt Faye.
When she was 99, we didn't give her anything for 99, but at 99, we announced that the next year, when she was 100, she would be Grand Marshal. And she just jumped up, threw her little arms out, said, oh, dear God, I hope I don't die before I get to do that. And so she was our Grand Marshal at 100.
Thank you.
Wow.
She lived to be 104.
Thank you.
So when I think about how long am I? I'm going, well, I got at least 33 more years.
Yeah.
Or Aunt Faye's going to say I'm a weenie.
You don't have an excuse.
Yes, I can't wimp out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Let me tell you what I love about you. I mean, you're so down to earth. I really want to grow up and be just like you. I mean, to have the HRH, Her Royal Highness, in front of it, and then you come in and you're just like an everyday gal. It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. And so, I really love you for being that beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
I
that is so awesome.
It makes my day.
I'm really inspired that this idea came from a sense of mourning. Like when you were in a low place, that's where it came from. Mm-hmm. When I'm depressed, I'm eating Oreos and drinking a beer.
Yeah. Well, I was doing that as well.
Craft.
Exactly.
I was looking for something, you know, besides that, something edible.
Yeah,
you know,
and you've created this cultural movement. And so, obviously, Sweet Potato Queens, like you said, it's engaging. It involves everyone that's willing. It's this big parade thing. How does the queendom expand past the parade? What is this family's? How do they stay connected beyond St. Patty's Day?
Well, you know, when we started, it was, you know, the internet was really new. Mm. I had an early website, and it was put in the book, in the first book, in the last minute as the galleys were being printed. We said, let's do a website. And the CeeLo agency did it for us over here. And so I still have an AOL email address.
Oh, wow.
Because it's in all the books. I can't change it.
Yeah.
You know, that's
how they get in touch with you now.
And so, but before there was Facebook and even MySpace, there was message boards. And we had the message board of love.
Mm.
And there were thousands of people all over the world on there. And so everybody had a made-up name. And, you know, it was, but they've stayed connected through that, and then as Facebook came, and so friendships, real friendships, mm-hmm. have been four people that mm-hmm. have met that never would have crossed paths any other way through this. It really is phenomenal. And awesome. They come every year, and they love and support each other, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It is.
Wow.
I'm breaking in as security. I want to come in as full. I think I'm tough anyway, so I think that's a perfect position for me to start mm-hmm. with the SPQ. But
well,
yes.
you know, they're all cute, young and cute, you know.
Oh.
So I kind of don't like them. You know,
oh, okay. It's a split. Okay.
You know, like I said, I'm
71. I'll play into it.
When I started this, you know, we were so cute. The pictures, Oh, my God. Our arms were so pretty. And, you know, so now, I mean, there's security and they're in, you know, black mini skirts and fishnets, and you know they carry whips and they're
Lacey.
Hot, and
Lacey, this going, is me, and this has got me and you written all over it. Plus, it's got pink on it.
Yeah.
So you already know. Yeah. Well, no, in your security, you're in black.
But there's pink touches.
There's
so
pink touches.
We
okay.
hate security.
I hope Anna Neal is listening right now.
We can't wait for them to get too old to walk the route.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Okay, I want to get to the event. The Queen-centric schedule of events, which is awesome, that is going to be starting next Friday, March 22nd, 11 a.m., the Big Hat Brunch.
Actually, they start coming in on Wednesday now.
Okay.
They come in on Wednesday. On Thursday night, we're having a disco party in Fitzgerald's.
Okay.
All this is free. And then Friday is Big Hat at Drago's.
Yep.
And everybody does the hats. You have to go
big.
To sweetpotatoqueens.com/gallery
okay.
and look at the photos.
Okay.
The creativity, these people have so far surpassed us in creative. I mean, we're just kind of sitting on the laurels now, you know, which are pretty big. And the creativity is astounding. They decorate their doors.
Yeah.
The Hilton sponsors that. There's a door decorating.
That's
There's
awesome.
One group that decorates. They change the rugs. They change the art. They change the lamps, everything in their suites. So, and then Friday night it's prom night.
Yeah.
And Phase 4 plays.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, of course, we do the
parade. It's
the
parade, 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That rolls.
Downtown. And then that night is Pearls and PJs. Everybody comes in pajamas. Sunday morning is the bathrobe brunch. Everybody really does wear a bathrobe.
That's awesome.
That's kind of our church. I speak. And that's the sweetest time of the whole thing.
I want to know.
And the only thing you need a ticket for.
Because I want you to say it right. I want to know about the Saturday night giveaway.
Oh, the crown, the big ass crown.
That's what I wanted you to say. That's what I wanted her to say.
Yes. I have one of mine with me. It's bigger than this.
It is a big A crown.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
All of my jewelry is made for me by Larry Verba in New York City.
Come on, Larry.
Makes all the jewelry for the Metropolitan Opera, all the Broadway shows. If you've seen Wicked, did all of that.
Okay.
But also for the Night of the Thousand Gowns, which is the biggest drag show in the world. He makes the crowns for the empresses.
Oh, wow.
And he makes them for me. So every year I have one made, and we raffle. Everything that we do on this weekend, you have to remember, is for the Children's Hospital to raise money for Children's of Mississippi.
Okay.
So cool.
There's everything has you know, an element to it that raises money for the hospital. And
that's
so
awesome.
We raffle the crown. And so the rule is, it's my rule. There's nothing worse than a drawing for something and the winner's not there.
Right.
It's just kind of.
You got so to be in attendance.
It's at 10 o'clock Saturday night. Don't go pee. It's at 10 o'clock.
You're going to miss your raffle prize.
Because if you're not there, we're drawing again.
Hold it.
So, mm-hmm, 10 o'clock Saturday night, and you must be wildly enthusiastic because everybody else in the room just lost.
You better come down like you
cartwheels.
Are on The Price is Right.
Cartwheels.
And
cartwheels.
Drew has called your name.
You better bring that drag queen energy
to
the raffle.
A flip
Absolutely.
Or something.
So,
twirl.
It's no problem so far.
Okay.
I pulled up the gallery, and this lady is my inspiration from now on. She's got, for our listeners at home, she's got a red and white ball cap and the biggest crown I've ever seen on top of that ball cap.
That is one she won.
There you go.
That's one that she won one year.
Good for her.
Yeah. That is awesome. And then do you all attend the official after party that's going to be going on?
We do sometimes. We used to, when we were young and cute, that's when the Blues Boys played. And we would go on stage and prance around and be young and cute, and everybody loved us. But now we're like Mamaw, you know.
Right, right.
The coolest Mamaw in town.
Well, maybe, but, you know, a lot of our young girls, you know, queens.
You're
go.
Still cute.
Yeah.
You're still and, cute. I don't know what you're thinking, yeah. But you're still cute to me.
We're tired.
Oh, that's okay. You're well, cute and tired.
And my friend, you know, a friend of mine that I sent last year, he just moved here, and he was Nigerian. And I told him about it. I gave him one of my cards that says, lick you all over 10 cents. Ask about our other specialties. It is my business card. No one ever right. uses it. And I told him all of it. And so he went. And he said, oh, I saw you. And, you know, and he's young.
Yeah.
And he said, but did you weren't at the after party. I said, no. I said, you know, that's our it's young people's music and all that now. And he said, oh, no, they had an 80s band. I said, darling, we stopped at Motown.
Talk about some 80s.
So
we didn't step out of 1969. No. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said, you're so cute with the 80s. But no, that was, you know.
No, that's not us, honey. This is adorable.
No, it was old music like Britney Spears.
Right. Yeah. You remember back in the day?
No. That is not the day.
That is not the
that
day.
That is so not the day.
Well, Her Royal Highness herself, Jill Connor Brown, I just love you so much. The Sweet Potato Queen weekend begins March 20th, and it runs through the 24th. Again, the parade is on Saturday, March 23rd. The theme for this year's How St. Patty's Day Parade and Festival is Telling the Mississippi Story.
And our theme is our favorite Mississippi stories are Elvis and us.
Amen. I think those are my favorite Mississippi
That's
stories,
awesome.
Too.
Jill, let everybody know where they can go to get more information about the Sweet Potato Queens.
SweetPotatoQueens.com, and that is plural, Sweet Potato Queens. If you go to one queen, it's a porn site. Nice.
Please, put the S in there.
SweetPotatoQueens.com.
I love it.
You have been warned.
I know it. Yeah. Jill,
people
thank you again.
There's naked people with horses on there.
Oh, Lord.
Y'all want the pink ladies only.
And I'm all over Facebook. There's the Jill Connor Brown author, Sweet Potato Queens page. There's
okay.
the Wannabe Queens page. There's you can I can be found. I can be found.
Google her.
Yeah.
Well, Jill, thank you again so much for joining us. We've come to the end of another great trip. We want to thank you for riding shotgun and thank today's guests, Deborah Mansfield, Rosa Tulia Ganova, and Her Royal Highness herself, Jill Connor Brown, for joining us. To submit an event or find out more information about what's happening around your neck of the woods, visit mpbonline.org to view SIP events or email events@mpbonline.org. For Kamel King with Visit Mississippi, Java Chapman, Marissa Vaughn, and Lacey Alexander, I'm Jermaine Flood, producer. Join us next Friday at 10 a.m. for another great trip here on Next Stop Mississippi.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.